to A Link to the Cast. Thanks for downloading us. We are the newest kids on the block when it comes to video games podcasts that are actually worth listening to. We are here, and this is episode 10, and it's just starting to get into the Christmas spirit as we pull into December. Depending on when you're listening to this, Merry Christmas. If it's too early, I take that back. If it's not, then maybe you're sick of Christmas.
It's not even December yet. Oh, it might be.
It will be, though.
Oh, right. But it's not here right now. People don't believe that we're actually talking into their ears in real time. They must be aware of the fact this was done at some point in the past.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you're listening to this in 2010, are there hover cars?
I expect there will be.
Yes. So if it's nearly Christmas, Merry Christmas. If it's not, I hate Christmas. Why does Christmas come too early? Coming up on the episode 10 of A Link to the Cast, we have reviews of new Super Mario Brothers Wii on Wii. I say it's new. It might not be new, depending on when you're listening to this. We've got Ghostbusters on Xbox 360 and two titles on Sony platforms, DJ Hero for PS3 and Beaterator on the PSP. We'll also be looking at the big stories happening in the world of video games right now, and we'll hear how Rock Band is the latest game to get the Lego treatment. By the way, you can now follow us on Twitter. If you go to twitter.com/A Link to the Cast, you can do the same on Facebook, facebook.com/A Link to the Cast. And me, Brian and Rick will all be updating and tweeting on there, although chances are it'll only be me.
Well, I remember when it first started, it was only me, so I should get back on there again. You'll have to fill me in on the details.
Okay, let's reacquaint ourselves with the team. We just heard from them then. Ricardo looks at all things PS3.
Wicka Wicka, how are you doing?
Wiki Wicked, so was that a preview of your DJ Hero set?
I'm all influenced again.
Excellent stuff. And Brian Shelf is our man who looks at things on the Xbox 360.
Except today.
Oh, are you not looking at, is it not a 360 title?
No, it's Wii.
Oh, it's a Wii version.
Ghostbusters Wii, yeah, they're different versions.
Okay, so Brian Shelf is the man failing in his duties to be an Xbox 360 correspondent.
Yeah.
Normally, we try to sort of let ourselves, acquaint ourselves with the team, you know, find out a little bit more what makes these guys tick, you know. Brian Shelf, he would eat a peanut off the floor if it's been there a week.
No.
Ricardo got engaged last month. You know, all these things have come to light in this section. Answer me this or complete this sentence. We're going to find out a little bit more about you. You know you've played a game too long when... ...
You know you've played a game too long when...
When your console starts to stutter. When Modern Warfare 2 was released, I played it for probably about 10 to 12 hours consecutively, and it actually, my PS3 started to die. It was really, 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 really struggling then.
That's not too bad. When I've lost any sensation in my feet through cold of recent, I've been playing a lot over the past couple of days because I've had some time off work, and I you know, it's to the point where I haven't even got up to turn the heating on, and then realise that my feet have gone numb. So that's probably when you actually start to, when frostbite threatens. Yes.
I was going to... This was inspired to me by a conversation I was having. We were talking about Tetris Worlds on N64, and we played it so much that it was one where you close your eyes when you were going to bed and you could see Tetrominoes dropping down in front of you.
Classic Tetris. Anyone else who's got the similar addiction to Bejeweled Blitz as I have at the moment, that's the kind of game that invades your subconscious.
Is it wrong that I get that with Modern Warfare? I see legions of Americans dying at my feet.
Well, I think you've just got the news on there.
Burn, feel the burn on that one there. Okay, it's this time of the show where we do the headline competition. Okay, right, so I'll be honest, the headline competition has had a lot of stick since we launched A Link to the Cast at the start of 2009. What we do, we come up with a story, a made-up news story from the world of video games, and we say, what would happen if that story happened in real life? How would the tabloid newspapers report upon this story? But it's got so much stick, I'm going to change things, yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna change from now on.
Really?
In fact, it's not from now on. I'm gonna try something new this week. And if you don't like it, then we're gonna go back to the old way and we're gonna carry on doing the old way over and over again. Now, what normally happens for people who regularly listen to A Link to the Cast is that I come up with a hilariously awful pun and then I tend to sort of meld the story around it. What I've done today is I've just come up with an actual genuine story from real life that's related to video games. They might have otherwise got in our news section, but it's an actual story. So you've got to come up with a headline for the actual story. You should be good at this, Rick.
No pressure.
A Japanese man has married his video game girlfriend, an anime character who lives inside a Nintendo DS. That's a true story. This has genuinely happened. A Japanese man has married his video game girlfriend, an anime character who lives inside a Nintendo DS. The virtual bride's name is Naina Anagasaki, and she's from the video game Love Plus, which is a DS title in which you have to sort of try and make people fall in love with you. So it's a Japanese man marrying his video game girlfriend. She doesn't exist, but he does. So this has really happened in real life. How would you run that as a headline in an actual newspaper?
Cool.
Okay, so there's no hilarious... I haven't got an answer. I've not got one.
I bet you've thought of one already.
I honestly haven't got one.
I've got one.
Yeah.
All right, so that'll happen later on in the show.
Yeah. Are we going to first of all talk about how weird it is that we're actually all in the same room together?
I think we break the fourth wall here.
Yeah. Well, we've done it previously.
Kind of, already shattered that.
Yeah, we've mentioned it on a number of occasions that I'm not usually in the same room as you two.
Rick's even appeared on the cast when he's not even been near a microphone.
And we've even explained that as well. Since.
Yeah, that's true. But
depending on where you're listening to this, we sort of appear in studios around the UK and we all come together via magical phone lines and pixie dust, and it appears that we're all together, slightly, unless you really know your technical stuff and your rules of compression, in which case you can probably tell, slightly different in each case scenario. But for the first time, we're all actually together, sitting opposite. And the good news is, it's meant we've been able to bin off producer Adam, so...
Hey!
He's now redundant.
Yeah.
And he's available if you need someone to sit and press some buttons. Instead, I'll do it all for us. Should we do some news then?
Go!
Guess what? The Wii is losing its shine. It's been out for 3 years. Everyone's got one already. Apparently, its sales figures aren't as great. Well, everyone's already got one. Something we should be too worried about?
They've released the black one, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, I might get a second Wii. Yeah. Nice black one, yeah? No.
Well, it looks like the PS3, which of course had a price drop and has actually got some really good titles on, is really getting a resurgence this Christmas. Mm. I would say, you know what? Most people tried to get a Wii for Christmas 2006.
Yeah,
I know
I
did. Got one on release day. Then there was Christmas 2007 and 2008, and every birthday that people have had in between that. Yeah. I think that people have had ample opportunities to get Nintendo Wii. It's been 3 years. Most consoles in the past have had a four and a half year.
I can't actually think of someone I know that would now get a Wii if they hadn't already got one. Everyone and people I wouldn't even think would get one have already got one. Well, my grandma's got one, my aunt's got one, my mum's got one.
Well, that's it. Even though it's actually quite... It's funny because it's quite a games console. It's purely driven by games more than anything. It's not the kind of console that gamers would buy. Big gamers, have usually just got an Xbox and they would think about getting a PS3, but wouldn't think about getting a Wii. But it's funny, everyone you would speak to at work who's not really a gamer has got a Wii, or a member of their family has got a Wii. So, I think it's saturation.
It sells every time, doesn't
it? Another thing is that the point of the Wii was bringing new people into the market. And, of course, what do you do when you bring people into the market? They want to find out new things. They want to upgrade as well. So maybe they got Wiis and thought, oh, and there's now this title, which is in HD and plays Blu-rays. Let's get a PlayStation 3. It's now $199 or whatever price you can get it for now.
And they'll get one and then get Little Big Planet and then go, sell it.
Just to put it into context, actually, the DS is something like 5 years old this week as well. That's absolutely ancient now. Of course, the DS, the DS Lite, the DSi, and now this DSLL just gone on sale in Japan, sold something like 200,000 versions in its first week.
The PSP Go, hasn't it?
PSP Go relaunched has sold 30,000 in its first week. So you look at that and you think, well, crikey, DS has actually got plenty of legs left.
That thing's absolutely murdering out there. It's the whole idea, like we touched on last episode, trying to give a DS for that older audience, which Nintendo has really cultivated in the titles they've put out for it. All those brain training things and all the puzzle games, they really do appeal to the older audience. And well, the PSP is just really a nice, shiny new PSP. It's the same people that are going to want to buy it. They've already got one.
Do those Anton Deck ads actually appeal to anyone, though?
They appeal to a certain somebody, but I think that certain somebody's probably already got a Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about the family, isn't it?
No, but do you think... Because I've got a Wii and they don't appeal to me as ads. I can't stand the matey chumminess. Oh, no wonder I can't get... Oh, and everyone acts surprised that Ant and Dex come in and... anyway.
I love it when they go, find out whether or not I won this race.
Yeah, I couldn't care less.
It's like, I'll find out. Oh, he won. You'll never guess what. He won.
Which
one?
He's got some skills in the Mario Kart.
Yeah. Interesting, though, with the idea that games consoles would normally have a 4 or 5 year lifespan. I picked up my GameCube, I think it was 2002, the GameCube, and picked up the Wii back end of 2006, so 4 years, 4.5 years, something like that. the PS3, they're on about it having a 10-year life cycle. So even if you talk about it, maybe for if you count that a year before it was released, you've still got sort of like 5-6 years of PlayStation 3. It was announced this week from Nintendo, they won't just upgrade to HD and have the same console. They want a new system, Nintendo, before announcing a Wii 2, if you like. 360 are about to relaunch Natal with a relaunch 360. Mm. We're going to have these current range of consoles certainly for the next couple of years, surely.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, ever since the PS3 was released, they always marketed it as a 10-year console. I think that was another kind of angle they were trying to put on it because it had such a high price point that, you know, you buy it now and you're going to be using this machine for the next decade, which is, as you mentioned, like unheard of almost in the games industry beforehand. I think it's interesting to see that, like you were saying, the 360 is only really going to have a natal update. There's no word about a new Xbox console. And, you know, the PS3 is pretty a more powerful machine. I mean, it always has been. Are we going to see the sales kind of tip back towards Sony's favour in the next year? I
think we are.
I'll
put my hat on the fact that
really
Sony
are
really going to pick up big time in 2010.
That's a nice hat as well, Mick. You really... I mean, to be honest, pink doesn't normally do it for me, but yes. It looks great on your hat.
I am wearing a pink hat.
There goes that fourth wall.
I'm going to move on now. I'm going to mention on my review of New Super Mario Bros. Wii, there is a new hint system in there. It basically means if you do a level, you die many, many times. You get this option of getting Luigi to appear, and he does the course for you, see how it's all done, so how to avoid, green shells or whatever, however it happens. Xbox 360 apparently going to create a new system, or are looking for a patent on a new system whereby you can add on hints, tips, and almost guides, like a Wikipedia style thing for games. So if you're creating a game, there'll be an option within the game to scroll through and look for suggestions, hints, and tips that other gamers have had for it.
There's already a game that's just doing that. I swear, in a cast about 4 or 5 episodes ago, we were looking over the things from E3, actually. It was a bit longer, and I'd heard about a game that was released in Japan, and it's got that live interaction thing going on there, that when you're playing a game, if you get caught out by a boss or a character over a number of times or whatever, you can leave markers in the game, and your character can appear as a ghost within other people's games. It's a scary, kind of spooky game anyway, so it's kind of adding that, like you say, Wikipedia element, but in a friendly and in-context way within the game.
It sort of makes sense. I'm one of these people who, for me, a game is good, not because it's... or a game lasts a long period of time, not because it's excessively hard, but just because there's lots of it. And, you know, games that are excessively hard and make you do things over and over again to the point of frustration really, really wind me up. So, you know, I think it's a good move.
Yeah, it says, read here, if I just give you the details, the Wiki-style Xbox 360 hint system would allow players to capture screenshots and short video clips, as well as adding annotations and audio commentary. Jump on here, kill him, avoid him, pick up...
Is there going to be editing for this audio commentary, or is it going to be the same kind of racist abuse that gets thrown at you when you're on Xbox Live?
I was I was playing Modern Warfare 2 round at Rick's, and Rick's a big fan of the mute when it comes to other people.
It's the first thing you do whenever you go in any room, just mute everyone else. There are a couple of exceptions. If you see some people who are, they've got clan tags, you can put a little 4-letter... you know, abbreviation before your name. If you see a couple of people in the game room...
I can think of a good one for you, actually.
Cheers. But if you see a couple of people with the same clan tag, more often than not, they're actually going to talk to each other in a sensible way in game, so they don't get instantly muted. People work together, that's a good thing.
Yeah, maybe something will happen on WeSpeak. Like, they might actually create a game where you can use WeSpeak. That would be nice.
Why is there no talk of another Mario Kart? That's what I want to know. Why do they always... I mean, there's a Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yeah.
Why
could they not create the new Mario Brothers multiplayer online and include WeSpeak?
That was my biggest thing when we were looking at New Super Mario. Why isn't it online? It makes no sense to me at all.
It looks more chaotic than other online games. Yeah. I think there's perhaps too much latency.
But Brawl's online. So a Super Smash Brothers Brawl.
Yeah, that's
true.
All about microsecond timing. That's so quick.
Well, I was reading an interview with Shigeru Miyamoto, and basically he was saying that for the first time with New Super Mario Brothers, they've been able to get 4 characters moving on screen at the same time. Now, I was thinking there must be another example where that's already happening, where they're all on the same screen. Micro Machines, something like that.
Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, there's all sorts of games that do it, but it's the Mario. It's just something they've never done themselves, isn't it?
Yeah, so I don't know if that was the reason, but I was a little bit disappointed by that. But that's still into my review. Just going to mention a couple of games which are out, about to come out. 18, I think they are, titles as well. Assassin's Creed 2. Now, I'm really looking forward to that. It looks absolutely outstanding, getting a lot of great reviews. Left 4 Dead 2, by the way, is the other game I was going to mention, but Assassin's Creed 2.
Well, Assassin's Creed 1 looked great, was a bit too repetitive. So really hoping that they've got that sorted out this time and they've actually made it more varied, because the only problem last time was you had to be very completist about it, and there was no kind of variety.
I always thought that if you weren't on a main assassin mission, you were either doing one of another four things, and that was climbing up a tower,
looking off it,
exactly, or breaking up a little rowdy mob or whatever it is, or trying to, I don't know, kill someone else completely unrelated. It was just ridiculous.
Which is a shame, because it was an amazing looking game and had a nice little twist in it as well, which
it's
no
a properly stunning next gen title. It was one of the first that really made you think, wow, this is HD gaming.
But I'm quite pleased there's a second version of this, and this is what annoys me about titles that come out, which in theory should be absolutely great, but maybe don't quite work out as well as you would have wanted them to. Actually, they've stuck by it. Assassin's Creed still sold quite well, but there was a number of game issues that you made out. The developers have gone, you know what, we can improve on what we had. We created a beautiful world, a fantastic sort of system. All we need now is to improve the gameplay. It's got a better variety of missions, apparently. Surprising and engaging new gameplay elements, more diverse weapons, different character progression and all that sort of stuff as well. So they've taken this world, they've thought, we've got that right. All we need to do now is improve on the gameplay, which it appears to be. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
In a few moments' time, Rick's going to be reviewing DJ Hero, there's a game on the horizon. Will be out very soon, and it's it's Rock Band, and it's got a little bit of a twist. Let's find out some more. Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast. Now, any fans of video games will know that there's a Lego franchise going around at the moment. Anyone who's played either Lego Batman or Lego Indiana Jones will know all about that. But there's a new game coming. It's going to be out on the 27th of November. It's another Lego take on a game that maybe we already know, and it's Lego Rock Band. Yeah, believe it or not, Lego Rock Band coming soon to a number of consoles. Well, joining us now to tell us all about Lego Rock Band from TT Games is Jonathan Smith. Jonathan, welcome to A Link to the Cast.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Lego Rock Band, how did that come about?
Well, we've been making these Lego games for a little while, as you say, with the characters running about and having fun and fighting and exploring. And we wanted for some time to take that Lego world in a different direction, to really have fun with it in a new way. And luckily, the brilliant people at Harmonix, who make the Rock Band games over the years, of which we're all huge fans, were thinking the same sort of thing. And to get together and see that we both had the same ideas about making a music game that was fun for everybody to play, with all the surprise and humour of a Lego world, kicked it all off.
I mean, anyone who's played those other titles will know there's very much sort of it's a unique experience when you have these games. Maybe it's a platform or an adventure game, but it has this sort of undercurrent that all along it's a Lego title as well. How does it work actually in reality? How does it fit into sort of that Rock Band format?
Well, the Rock Band game is terrific fun. If you played it, you get to act out your dreams of being a rock star, playing guitars, drums, bass, or singing to great songs and playing along with the original artists through your console. That's great fun, but it can be quite technically demanding. It's a game requires considerable skill, particularly at the high levels. And I've had the experience, I know other people have had the experience, of trying to play with families, with children, or even with just sort of friends who aren't really compos mentis at the time, and finding it quite hard to sort of have the blast that you want. So one of the things that Lego Rock Band can do is make the game deliver exactly the same kind of level of challenge for experienced players, but also open it up with some new easier modes and some new gameplay styles, and I think with some more sort of excitement and fantasy in the visuals and dramatic situations, which can make it more widely appealing.
It's interesting, especially in the run-up to Christmas. This is a game which, when these sort of rhythm action games first appeared, they were quite specialist in terms of the sort of people who wanted to play them. But I think most people will find it who've played either Rock Band or Guitar Hero that there's actually sort of a great appeal to these titles, and most people actually listening to this will have had an elder family member, maybe mum's or dad's, trying out a Guitar Hero or a Rock Band. But actually, this might be a little bit more of an easy first step for them.
Well, we're trying to make it super easy. We have a new mode called Super Easy, which means you can just play whatever you like. You can do whatever you like on the instruments, and so long as you're, you know, paying attention to the music, you'll be able to succeed. You won't get booed off stage. So you can pair up with someone who's more experienced and play together. But yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the idea of being a music star, everyone loves music. Everyone loves getting together and having fun. And that's what the sort of the music style of game is there to create, that experience. And I think with LEGO we've been able to do it in a unique way that we're really proud of.
There's a couple of questions that people always raise whenever we talk about new Rock Band titles or Guitar Hero titles, things like that. The first one always comes down to the playlist. Now, people might hear this thing, oh, LEGO Rock Band, what's it going to be? All sort of pop tunes. But actually, you know, we're talking about the Kaiser Chiefs, Vampire Weekend, Blur, Bon Jovi, Blink 182. So actually, the playlist is actually quite credible from a rock point of view.
Well, you know, we are making LEGO Rock Bands. We're not sort of making LEGO, sort of brass bands. We're not in a different genre. We still want to make music that players of rock band games, like myself, like all the people on the team, you know, we love that sort of music, we love that sort of game. We want to include music that we enjoy playing and that suits the style of the gameplay as well. So, yeah, of course, we've got rock music in there. We've probably gone, you know, there are some tracks in there that I think you would have been surprised to find in the Rock Band games to date. I think something like Ghostbusters, although it's got a brilliant guitar line and it's terrific to play on drums and you have a lot of fun singing it, it wouldn't be naturally thought of as a sort of a rock band song, I think. And probably The Final Countdown, for example, by Europe, which is another one that a lot of people have been enjoying on our set list. Maybe you think edges into sort of pomp or pop in a way that... But you know, within the mix of our set list, we think we've tried to be broad and accommodating and surprising and fun, but still songs that everyone will enjoy playing.
Yeah, can't wait to play Carl Douglas's Kung Fu Fighting, I have to say. The other couple of questions that people always ask, first of all, is the downloadable content that comes with it? And second of all, which of the instruments, peripherals that are already out there will work with this title?
Okay, so all instruments that are out there will work with LEGO Rock Band. They're all totally compatible now. And to this point about downloadable content, if you're online, if you're signed up online on Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3, downloadable content that you've bought for any Rock Band game in the past, if it's family-friendly, I mean, if it doesn't include sort of swearing or is totally inappropriate for young children, then you'll be able to play that on LEGO Rock Band.
Oh, great
So
stuff.
Your existing library will instantly be converted into the big part of LEGO Rock Band.
That's a great feature. That I'm sure a lot of people will be delighted that they'll be able to transfer a lot of the tracks they've already downloaded. And a couple of things that I've just got to finish with. I understand there's a certain challenge you can take part in. Well, a couple of actually, where you get to defeat a giant octopus and summon a storm to demolish a skyscraper. Have I got that right?
You can demolish the skyscraper using the power of rock. So you pump up the amps, and this is part of the feature that we have in the game is called Rock Power Challenges. And this is where we have, you know, great performances where you create your own, customize your own band. You can play along as some great stars themselves now in LEGO form, like the members of Queen, like the members of Blur, like David Bowie, like Iggy Pop. You can take their form and take your own band through performance. But you can also enter into these new dramatic sort of situations where you take your band into a situation where only with the power of rock can you overcome the challenge. We set it up in sort of a cutscene, and there's all kinds of new animations and new visuals going on as you empty the manor house of ghosts, for example, playing along to Ghostbusters. As you demolish that building, as you say, defeat a sea monster at sea, rocking on a pirate ship to the tune of Sum 41's In Too Deep, or you save the Earth from an asteroid storm. So there are all kinds of these rock power challenges we've had a lot of fun making, and we know that people really enjoy playing those.
I mean, that sounds great. A lot of the concerns that people have about these rhythm action titles is that you get to a certain level and you can only take it so far. Guitar Hero 5 got a lot of criticism in that essentially a lot of people said, you know what, it's just more tracks that you can already play on, mate, you know, in addition to maybe Guitar Hero World Tour Greatest Hits and things like that. Rock Band Beatles obviously was very different because it had the digital music for the first time. But actually, those challenges gives the game a sort of an added incentive for people to go out and get a title like this.
Well, I hope so, and I hope they'll also find the track list is great and fun. I think they'll also really enjoy bringing their rock characters to life as Lego form and playing with the existing with the bands that I mentioned before. And I think, you know, a key point is being able to play the game with a wide audience of family members and really getting everyone to join in.
Okay, Jonathan Smith is from TT Games. Jonathan, just finally, when can people get hold of Lego Rock Band and on which formats?
Lego Rock Band is out on the 27th of November. It's out on PlayStation 3, Xbox 360 and Nintendo Wii. There's also a totally brilliant Nintendo DS version of the game, which works in a slightly different way. You don't need any instruments. It'll plug straight into your DS and you can rock with a bunch of songs there in a way that I think people will really, really enjoy.
Jonathan, thanks for joining us on A Link to the Cast.
Mick, it's an absolute pleasure. Thanks.
Okay, Lego Rock Band, hopefully we'll be reviewing that before Christmas, depending on when you're listening to this again. But for now, you're listening to A Link to the Cast. Rock Band, Guitar Hero, is that done now? Will we see those continuing in 2010?
Hell yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
Do we want them, really? Have they reached a certain level?
I can't get tired of Guitar Hero.
You just can't get enough.
No, I can't. Well, actually, I haven't said that. I haven't played it for about 3 weeks, but... But I will be picking it up again. Mm. So no, I don't think so. For me, it's like we had that interview the other day. It's pointing towards somewhere where the music industry could be going.
Mm. Money to be made.
Yeah, it's a way of generating.
I just like the idea that the music industry finally gets involved once gamers have got a little bit bored of it. They go, oh yeah, now we can do this, and gamers go, yeah,
basing gamers being bored off on?
I just think when people now look at review, well, for instance, your reviews of Guitar Hero 5, it's just the same game with new tracks.
Yeah.
Rock Band 2 is coming out, it's the same game just with new tracks. There's only so many times you can churn that out before people go, you know what, it's just the same game.
It's like saying Super Mario, whatever you say in your review coming up, is just saying, well, you know, it's just leaping jumping from block to block.
Yeah.
You know? It's just jumping from blocks.
Yeah, but you're creating like a £40 game, £45 game. Should it not just all revert to downloadable content
you can
pick up for 79p
a
trick?
Yeah, exactly. Tracks.
That may well be the case, and we're going to hear about DJ Hero, which is, you know, is a new way of controlling it. But no, I don't. But are people getting bored of it?
Why have they created
DJ Hero and Band Hero? Because they're thinking, oh,
Band
well,
Hero,
we can't do any
different
more
audience
with
Guitar in. Hero. Nah, I think they're just trying to open up their franchise ideas. I think it's just getting more people in to play it.
I think people aren't playing Guitar Hero anymore.
Harp Hero, maybe move into the whole orchestra. Timpani Hero.
Tambourine.
Yeah, tambourine, yeah. Well,
everyone likes to be a bit of rock tambourine.
Simple person.
What about Sitar Hero?
nice.
Nice peripheral
there. You see, that was a headline competition.
Oh, dear.
Never mind. You're listening to A Link to the Cast. And on that bombshell, it would make sense for Ricardo to review DJ Hero, which is multi-format, but you've been playing on the PS3 version of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know... We've already talked a little bit about the Guitar Hero sort of legacy, and I still think there's plenty of legs in the Guitar Hero franchise. I just think that DJ Hero is a really good new way of taking it, and you couldn't talk about this kind of a game without first paying some attention to the peripheral of choice, which is, of course, the turntable. Just looking at it, it's a slick piece of kit. You've got, obviously, your fully rotating turntable, or platter, as Grandmaster Flash likes to call it. And within that, there's three buttons that push down. And, of course, you use them for your basic rhythm action timing. And, of course, they fully rotate, which can be a bit tricky, but we'll come back to that later. Another thing, on the side of your turntable, you've got a little... mixing desk. So there's an effects knob which you can use to put some reverb on and some echo and all kinds of crazy stuff. And you can also use it to choose different samples to throw into your mixes as you do it. And then you've got a Euphoria, which is basically a DJ Hero's equivalent of a Guitar Power. It's got a flashing button on the desk here, so it just flashes when you can use it. Bit pointless, really, because the button's black and it doesn't really flash that loud, but some people think it's kind of cool.
You're too busy looking at the screen
anyway to pay any attention to what they've done with that anyway. And then, of course, the last thing you got your crossfader, which is used to mix between the two tracks, and that's basically what you're doing throughout the game. You're playing two songs at the same time and you're adding samples which come from those three tap buttons, scratching them, which works by holding down one of these buttons and moving the turntable in time, which is tricky.
Can I correct you there?
Oh, go on.
Because you're not... See, I think this is a mistake or the way that this game has been marketed that I think people will misunderstand. You're not playing the game. You're not mixing two songs. You're playing along with a mix which has already been made, aren't
you?
You're not going, I'm going to mix these tracks now.
No.
You're simply, as you do with Guitar Hero, playing along with a mix that's already been created.
You're playing as in you're pushing play, yeah, essentially. But I think that was the same really with Guitar Hero. If you get a note wrong in Guitar Hero, you don't hear the note that you would have played if your fingers were there. You just hear a strange twang noise. But, you know, it's the same gameplay and it works the same way. And your three buttons on your turntable, basically the left one relates to a left turntable if you were playing on the left-hand track. The right one relates to the right-hand turntable and you're mixing between those two tracks with the crossfader. Now, it can get pretty hard at times and the crossfader is no doubt the hard bit as you try and flick from one track to the other and then go back in the centre because the crossfader, it hasn't got any spring-loaded mechanism or anything. It's all about your muscle memory, getting used to where it should be in the middle. And then that can get quite difficult at times when you've just got a spike, as they call it, which is just hit it straight to one side and come straight back to the middle. It's a very tricky game, but you don't have to use a crossfader that much. If you want to play it on easy, you can ignore all that and just hit with the rhythm action on the buttons. Of course, the big thing that's going to be made about any of these types of games, as we've already said, and it's about the music. It's about the track listing. If the music's no good, you're not going to enjoy it. And it's got to be said, I believe it's a little bit hit and miss. One of my biggest gripes here was the Grandmaster Flash set list. He is the man that introduces the game. He is the man that teaches you how to play DJ Hero. He is the man, as he's all too willing to tell you, that made the turntable an instrument. He first put mixes together and scratched it, and he even talks about how he used starch to make felt.
He likes to blow his own trumpet.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And you can absolutely tell when you play his set list because he's got a mix in there which are two brilliant songs. It's an old school hip-hop track, the Herbie Hancock Rocket.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know it. Yeah, exactly. And he mixes it with NERD Lap Dance, which is a brilliant sort of newer song, something to keep it in with the kids. But at no point during the 3.5 minutes when you're playing it do you get to hear any of the songs, really. You find when you finished it that you've basically been playing a 3-minute intro to a song because he's just mixed the intros and scratched it and scratched it and scratched it to pieces. It got me a little annoyed. I like both of those songs and I didn't really tell either of them were in there. But, you know, there's a few other tracks and artists in there which kind of pull it back out of there.
Grandmaster Flash, though, not only is he a very good DJ, he's also excellent at chess.
No, oh my God. Anyway,
if you understood that joke, write to us at PO Box.
Well, did any of you guys see the DJ Hero TV advert?
Yes, that was absolutely dreadful. For me, that summed up how badly the mixes can actually sound. Can I pick out my favourite mix?
Yeah, go for it.
It's Jackson 5. I forget the track. Is it ABC? Is it ABC?
ABC, yeah.
Versus Third Eye Blind's My Semi-Charmed Life or something like that. It's absolutely... It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's awful. It doesn't work.
No, there are a few of them in there. And in fact, actually, another thing that they've thrown into this is the idea that you can play one person on a turntable, one with a guitar. And it's obviously to try and make it a bit more multiplayer, knowing that people aren't going to pay 80 quid for another turntable out
there.
And
that people are a bit bored with Guitar Hero.
Yeah, well, maybe. But there's a mix in there of Rihanna and The Killers, somebody told me. And that, again, it's just two records playing on top of each other, and it's just a bit annoying. When you're trying to play the guitar bit, you kind of think, oh, yeah, this riff of The Killers is good. And then you try and listen to the rest of it, and it's just an absolute mess.
What about Grandad?
It's just noise.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, but to be honest, there are plenty of other tracks in there which really do pull it out. The one, the TV advert, the Jay-Z and Eminem mix,
that's the worst
it's
one.
So much better in-game than it is on that. I swear they've cut it and they've resampled it for the TV advert, and it doesn't even sound anywhere like what you actually play in-game. There's the another Jay-Z track, Change Clothes versus Tupac, All Eyes on Me. That's a brilliant kind of relaxed, kind of chilled vibe.
Are they rap singers?
They are indeed. And there's the Daft Punk set list. Now, I'm a big fan of Daft Punk, so this is always going to be a big hit with me. You get to that stage in the game, and it's a set list that's 8 tracks long, and you've only played really 4-track sets before. But it is an awesome, awesome, awesome mix. There's so many good ones in there. And, of course, the big one that you have to play through in the tutorials and stuff would be We Will Rock You by Queen, which is legendary, and Robot Rock by Daft Punk. Now, I love both of those songs. You couldn't go wrong. And they have mixed it absolutely to perfection. Now, what do I think of the game? I think it's a brilliant when it goes right. and it's just not really particularly good when it doesn't go right. And another thing where it fails is the interface and trying to remember the names of the songs that you would like. Like I played a track list earlier before coming in here and I chose 3 or 4 tracks and 2 of them weren't the ones I wanted because there's 100 mixes in game, but they're using like 80 songs. So you'll find the same tracks appearing in other ones. Ways of getting around the music licensing, I think, trying to save a bit of money as they do it. So it can be a bit hit and miss, but one good thing they have put in there is the fact that you can create your own 2 custom track lists in there. So if you remember what your favourite songs are, you can save them to an actual set list that you can then go back to and skip. Yeah, the ones if you've just fancy playing.
Here's a pen. If you want to borrow this, you can write down the songs you like instead of
I've got a few of them here.
Yeah. Can I just say, I haven't played it yet, right. So this criticism was without playing it.
But you read the Daily Mail, isn't
it? Yeah. No, because for me, right, if it was 70 quid, I would buy it. The fact that it's 90 quid...
It's a lot of money, yeah.
That pricing point is ridiculous. I really hope it comes down soon, because 90 quid, it's just too much.
My 2 penneth on this was that I've played it, and I just think... It doesn't quite hit where you think it should hit.
I think it doesn't get there quick enough, to be honest. I think the intros are a bit too friendly to you. The first sort of 5 tracks are a bit too slow, and they're tracks you don't really know anyway. But once it gets good, like the tracks like Eric Prydz's Piano, which any dance music fan will know, with Tears for Fears Shout, you said it yourself when you were around, you thought that sounded like it was going to be a mess, but it's actually a really well-constructed mix. And when you get it right and everything comes in together, bang, it's amazing.
Ricardo, what would make you stop playing DJ Hero?
I could probably give you both just one guess and you'd get it right. It would be Modern Warfare 2, yeah.
Oh, right.
Still on the Modern Warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the day that we recorded the last podcast was the day they fixed the PS3 servers for Modern Warfare. So now it is just seamless, online, brilliant action.
But if people are thinking, Christmas time, do I bother asking for it? If they're maybe into Guitar Hero, have played through them all, a bit sick of them now.
Yeah, I think it's a great game. I think people are going to enjoy it. It's got that same party appeal. You get a few friends around, you're having a few drinks together, somebody's always on it. A brilliant, brilliant game. I just think that there's a few mixes in there which leave a little bit to be desired.
Brian Shelf normally looks at things on the Xbox 360. Instead, he's been playing a Nintendo Wii title, which maybe slipped under the radar. Not many people probably have even heard of it. It's Ghostbusters.
I'm going to keep my review rather like the game, which is very short. It's good. It's great fun. It's what you would expect. It's for anyone who doesn't know about it, which it must be not that many people, it's a game that's kind of been in development for ages. And essentially then looked like it wasn't going to get made anymore and then just got bought out by someone else. It's a brand new, in inverted commas, story. It's a sequel to Ghostbusters 3 or a triquel or a trequel or whatever you would call it. It's got original voice acting by all the characters.
Ghostbusters 3? Isn't that Ghostbusters 2? Was there a Ghostbusters 3?
I'm saying it is Ghostbusters 3.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right.
It's a sequel to Ghostbusters 2. Yeah, part of the trilogy. It's got all new voice acting by the people involved.
That's cool.
Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, or Ramis, is it? Ramis?
Ramis.
Ramis, Ramis, Ramis.
Bill Murray?
Bill Murray. Yeah. So they're all in it. The big characters that are in it that you would know, Slimer, Stay Puft, Marshmallow Man, etc.
Winston.
That was his
character.
That was the guy's fella. He did feel a little bit thrown in at the last minute there, didn't he? In the film, in the 80s.
If you're on Facebook or Twitter now and you know the name of Winston, his real, the actor Winston who was in Ghostbusters, let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll give you a shout on the next podcast.
But it's great fun. It's a little bit weirdly controlled. The graphics are nice. Here's my criticism of it though. I finished it because I hadn't played it that much, to be honest, because I've been going back playing another game and I thought I'll get on this and I'll give it some good play for the review. I'm not going to get all the way through it. Finished it. In about 5 hours from beginning to end, without really making too much of an effort.
No replayability or anything like that?
There are replay things in there that you could go back and get. You could go back and collect these various things. But I didn't really feel like doing it, which is a bit of a shame.
Is it just collecting stuff?
It's just collecting stuff, yeah.
Is it anything like... When I first read about this game, I thought, this should be like Luigi's Mansion on the GameCube. Is it anything like that at all? You know when you suck people into your...
Vaguely, yeah. It's in that area.
You get to actually use the Wiimotes to bash ghosts against the walls and stuff, don't you? That sounds kind of cool.
Yeah,
but it's a little bit repetitive in that stake. The other thing that I would hold against it, and and that's not, you know, it's great fun. But the story isn't that original story. It's just a rehash. It's loads of set pieces from the old films put together with slightly different, you know, slightly different circumstances around them, which is understandable. You know, people want to be doing these sorts of things. And also, just from a production point of view, Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis, who were in it, seemed very keen to be doing it. Bill Murray, not so. I think Bill Murray was in a different studio on a different day, a different half day. He's pretty much phoned his lines in. And also, do you know when you find little things in a game that kind of annoy you? You can play either a male or female character. I always play a female character. That's a discussion point we should have in the future.
Yeah.
But I always play a female character. But the game, they're always going, oh, here's this new guy. He's blah, blah, blah. He's blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh.
And is it Janine? Was it Janine?
No. She was the receptionist.
Janine's the receptionist. She's in it as well.
But she's not the new character.
She's not the new character. No, you're a Ghostbuster that joins up with them. But you've picked a woman, but all the way through they refer to you as a bloke. And you
that's
think, poor. That's a little bit of careless production there. But overall, great for the time it lasted. But it should have lasted longer, really.
You sort of hinted then. What would make you stop playing this game?
It ended. That's what made me stop playing. I enjoyed it while it was on, and I suspect it's the kind of game that will come down in price quite quickly because I don't know if it's sold particularly too well. So it's probably worth picking up. Well, you know, probably pick up a second-hand copy of it.
Okay, you're listening to A Link to the Cast. One of the big Nintendo titles in time for Christmas is New Super Mario Bros. Wii. You probably played New Super Mario Bros. On the DS. This is the Wii version of it. Probably very similar in that way. It's the first 2D console Mario in something like 20 years. I think it's actually 18 years. Is it any good? Yes, it is actually. It's very good. Basically, it's a 2D platformer. Old school, basically. If you played Super Mario Bros. Maybe 3 and World, it's very similar to that. There are a lot of the things taken from it. You can play as Mario in the single player, but also they have this co-op mode, which essentially is a multiplayer, up to 4 people on one screen. So you can have Mario, Luigi, and 2 Toads as well. There's no other characters, though. You can't play, for instance, you can't be Wario, you can't play as Princess Peach. It's Mario, Luigi, and 2 Toad characters. Number of special moves in there, if you like. A number of different suits as well. Mario games throughout the years have had great suits. There's a new penguin suit, which I'm sure anyone who's seen it will agree is great fun. There's also a hat with a propeller, which is also fantastic as well. So there's a number of different elements to it. It does play very similarly, though, to the DS title. So if you like that, you will love this title. My girlfriend is a major, major Super Mario fan from the SNES days. She thought this great game was great from the get-go. My sort of Mario love affair began, if you like, with Mario 64. So it took me a little bit of time, I think, to get into it. Once you do, though, you notice the characters are great. It's great fun. Voice acting, as we know from Charles Martinet, always first class. Co-op mode is good fun. I would say don't play co-op mode if you are trying to seriously complete the game.
Right.
Don't two gamers sit down. Do it co-op mode. Me and Rick found out the other night. It's good fun when there's two of you doing it as a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it seriously, don't play with a girlfriend who was really into SNES Mario.
Yeah. How is your relationship?
Do you see where I'm going with
that?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It can get a little bit fractious.
Yeah.
Shall we say? So if you're playing with someone who's played 2D Mario games before and is absolutely just awesome at them, don't
ruin it all,
because you'll get the blame for absolutely everything.
Is the co-op exactly the same as the single player then, or are the levels tweaked slightly just to add
and interestingly, it's been set up so that there's nothing you can't get in single player that you could get in co-op mode.
Right.
So there's a number of different things you can do in co-op mode. For instance, if you can bounce off someone's head and you can jump super high, but you can only ever reach things which would have been reachable via another method.
Like the propeller playing, hat.
Yeah, propeller hat, yeah, something jumping, like that. Yeah. Or, for instance, the power blocks are back and you can throw power blocks and anything that's up in the air falls to the ground and all the baddies that are on screen, they all die, turn to coins and all that sort of thing. What I would say, though, it is hard. It is a really, really tough game. One of the criticisms of New Super Mario Bros. On DS was that you could play through it quite quickly. The Wii version is killer. You can be playing and you can be on a level and you can be dying 8, 9, 10 times,
wow,
which is where this guide thing appears. I think Nintendo realized that people will be playing and getting incredibly frustrated. So what you can do, if you die 8 times, a little block appears, which Luigi jumps out of, and then he runs along, and you essentially watch it as a video, how to complete the level. I've used it on one level. I've only needed it on one, but it's not like, for instance, on Galaxy, where you end up with, you know, 67, 68 lives. You're constantly more around sort of 10, 11, 12, probably up to 20. You could be on a level and lose 10 lives trying to get through one level.
When we were playing it together, we had one of my friends around as well, and maybe she didn't take to it quite so well, because it seemed that every new stage that we'd start, she'd have to put another credit in almost. It'd give her another 6 lives because she'd then get tanked in each level over and over again. It is pretty brutal, isn't it?
So you get your 5 lives to start, and then you get your continues as well. Mm. And don't be surprised if you start racking up the continues, because there are so many levels on there. The levels themselves are all your typical Mario levels, but because they're sort of brand new and shiny, you know, your snow levels, your ice levels, your underwater levels, your volcano levels, because they're all sort of shiny and new, and you're playing on maybe a big flat screen TV, and the last time you played on it maybe was 20 years ago on a SNES in your bedroom, it does make for quite an exciting concept playing 2D Mario on a Nintendo console again. What would make me stop playing this game though? Black eyes, broken fingers,
getting smashed.
I can be testament to this, because I came round to your house and sat there and was given the controller for my first play through on it. I was about two yards into the first level before your girlfriend was going, "You've missed the pipe! You've missed the pipe! Jump there! Jump there!" It was painful, Mick. Have you had to live with that for a couple of weeks?
Yeah, well, I've actually lived with that for about 4 years now.
It just... purists, they just want to see you collect everything, get everything.
Yeah, but the thing is, win. But the replay value, I mean, I was reading online, right, that you could complete this game in 2-3 hours. You would have to be super awesome to be able to do that.
Well, have you seen the video online of someone completing Super Mario World?
Oh, in 2.5 minutes.
In about 2.5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's what? Amazing.
Well, apparently there's the option of being able to do that, but I think you've got to really play through it all to unlock enough secret exits, cannons and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, but then you can go back and play it through again.
But in which case, I reckon you've got easily 10, 15 hours out of it.
Well, that was the biggest trick with all the old school Super Marios anyway.
There was always a shortcut.
Yeah, exactly. You go back and play Super Mario 1, because you've played it, you'd invested that time when you were, I don't know, 10 or 11 or whatever. You know where those pipes are, but you had to invest that time in the first place.
Indeed.
Exactly. Brilliant game.
It comes strongly recommended for me. I would certainly say, if you're a big Nintendo fan, you're looking for a challenging game this Christmas, I would say go out and get it. I would not say, though, that if you're younger, or maybe a younger gamer, you would struggle. Because actually, if you go and play back Super Mario World on SNES, play with a classic controller on WiiWare, it's difficult.
It is difficult.
And if you're a kid, chances are you'll pick it up, and you'll pick it up the same as anyone else. Probably the older you get, the harder you will find it to be, sort of thing. Certainly you will benefit, though, if you played an old 2D game. If you're brand new to it, you like new Super Mario Brothers on DS.
We've done this, though, haven't we? What would make you stop playing it? Would it be lending it to me for my week off next week?
I was going to lend you Dead Space Extraction.
I thought there was another copy of Super Mario.
Yeah, there's another Mario Brothers week.
I mean, you haven't got that yet.
So you snaffled mine without yours arriving.
It was never yours, was it? It was never yours.
Who's destined to get it?
How's Boy and His Blob coming along?
You know what? That game is absolutely brilliant.
So I can have that back?
No, because what I'm doing... I'm playing to like half a level. I'm doing like half a world on Mario, and then I'm playing through like a couple of levels.
Both at the same time.
I've got a whole week off, and I can't even have the game I lent you back.
Why don't you play
Guitar Hero 5 if you love it so much?
I want to play Boy and His Blob. He's not going to give it to me. Look at me now, is he?
You're avoiding all eye contact.
He is.
Right, we're going to do this in different studios next time. By the way, Rick, you've also been playing Beaterator very quickly.
It's basically MTV Music Generator. You choose a bunch of samples, you string them up into a timeline, and then play it back. You know, it's a workable little song creation device. It's pretty good.
Will you like it if you got a PSP?
I think if you're into Timbaland, who's obviously endorsed it, and that kind of music, you're probably going to enjoy it, because all the samples there are kind of R&B or soul-y or kind of hip-hop-y. There's maybe not so much in the way of, you know, true guitar or indie music, but it's a good little, like I say, music creation tool. Other than that, I don't know if there's a great deal of longevity. I used to have the MTV Music Generator on the PS2. I thought that was great, because you could sit down, you could dedicate some real time. I don't know if it really translated to when you sat on the bus so well. So I don't know.
Excellent stuff. That's Beaterator on PSP, PSP Go. We have the headline competition. This is a real story from the world of video games. You have to, though, tell us what would the headline actually be. Let me grab the story. And it was the story about the man in Japan who married an actual Nintendo DS character. So it was a guy who was playing Love Plus. He met a character in the game. He impressed that they actually got married with an actual priest. Apparently it's not law-abiding, but it genuinely happened in Japan. That's a real story. So now you guys have to come up with a hilarious pun that's not been made up at all. It has to be one which would genuinely work, because this is a genuine story. Brian,
will you marry we?
Damn it, that's what I've got written down here.
That's the best I could think of.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a nice easy one.
Yeah, it was a DS title, so
what
doesn't
about
work.
For the wedding
people relate to the Wii.
For the wedding night, one up.
That'll do. That's the headline competition. It's brand new and it's coming again to the next cast. The mailbag very quickly. Dead Space Extraction blew me away. Good recommendation, says Chris in Skelmersdale. That's on Facebook, on Twitter, Jeff87 in Manchester. Great work, guys. Thank you. GirlGamer34. Hi, Team Cast. Love the show. What's top of your Xmas list? Can't wait for Left 4 Dead 2 and new Zelda DS.
Can't wait for Super Mario Wii and Boy and His Blob.
Yeah, you've been waiting a long time.
So mean.
Next time around, we're going to do another podcast before Christmas, depending on when you listen to it. So we're going to be talking about the new Zelda title, which is Spirit Tracks. We've got a review of A Boy and His Blob. Who will be reviewing, though? Find out in the next cast. Ricardo, what's your big game in the run-up to Christmas?
I'm hoping to finally get my hands on Uncharted 2.
And complete awesome. Modern Warfare 2?
You can't complete it. That's the joy of it, isn't it?
Grand Shelf, what are you looking forward to?
Who knows? I haven't even thought about it. Stuff and things.
Yeah, I'll come back to you and we'll edit that bit out.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye.
Bam, right out there. Mailbags, just a couple, and then I'll do the...
I need to do two words on Beaterator. We talked it up already.
Yeah.
Just quit.
Okay, two words on Beaterator.
It's okay.
That's three words.
No, it's is an apostrophe.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Okay. Sorry, I was thinking okay.
All right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that brief review.